At 155 Riverside Drive, Manhattan, there was an apartment that smelled of oil paint, old books, and something intangible that only exists when money and culture have mixed together for generations. The windows overlooked the Hudson, that wide and lazy river separating New York from the rest of the world, and on the walls hung paintings by Van Gogh, Picasso, and Renoir. They were not reproductions. They were originals. In that apartment, on April 22, 1904, Julius Robert Oppenheimer was born. The boy who would one day split the atom entered the world surrounded by beauty, privilege, and a family that genuinely believed culture was the most valuable inheritance parents could pass down to their children. To understand Robert Oppenheimer, as he preferred to be called, ignoring the Julius he never liked, one must first understand the world that shaped him. And that world began with his father. Julius Oppenheimer had arrived in the United States from Hanau, a small German city, in 1888. He was 17 years old, spoke no English, and carried exactly nothing in his pockets. He was the kind of immigrant America promised to embrace, young, hardworking, willing to reinvent himself. What nobody could have predicted was the speed of his rise. Julius began as an apprentice in the textile company of distant relatives and, through a combination of business talent and relentless effort, climbed the ranks until he became one of New York's most successful textile importers. By the time he married Ella Friedman in 1903, he was already a wealthy man. Not the discreet kind of wealthy person who hides his fortune modestly, but the kind who displayed prosperity as living proof that the American dream was more than just a slogan. Julius was not an intellectual in the strict sense of the word. He did not read philosophy or debate art in the salons of the city. Nevertheless, he possessed something equally valuable, a deep, almost reverential admiration for those who did. That admiration led him to collect paintings, enroll his children in the best schools in Manhattan, and create within the walls of that apartment overlooking the Hudson an environment where knowledge was treated as the highest form of wealth. He was generous, affectionate, and inclined to see the good in people. Those who knew him described him as someone without visible enemies, without sharp edges, without the bitterness that sometimes corrodes those who have had to build themselves from nothing. Julius had arrived in America with nothing and ended up surrounded by Van Goghs. For him, that was reason enough to be happy. Ella Friedman, Robert's mother, was a more complex and harder to decipher figure. She had been born in Baltimore into a Jewish family already established in America, which in the social hierarchy of New York's Jewish community at the beginning of the 20th century represented no minor distinction. The Friedmans were not recent immigrants, they were second or third generation Americans, with all the refinement that implied. Ella was a painter. Not the kind who fills canvases for amusement on Sundays, but a serious, formally trained artist who had studied in Europe and handled the brush with a skill admired by her contemporaries. Yet it was precisely that skill that made her painfully aware of her limitations. Ella knew she was good, but she also knew she was not great, and that difference haunted her with an insistence that eventually became chronic melancholy. Physically, Ella hid her right hand. She had been born with a malformation that deeply embarrassed her, and she spent much of her life wearing gloves or finding subtle ways to keep that hand out of sight. She was elegant and controlled, imposing emotional distance even with those closest to her. Her contemporaries remembered her as affectionate but cold, caring but never effusive, present, yet always keeping something locked away in a place nobody could truly reach. This combination of artistic sensitivity and emotional restraint left a permanent mark on Robert. From his father he inherited generosity and a love of life. From his mother he received the need for control, the ability to build inner walls, and also that underlying melancholy that would accompany him throughout his adult life, even during his greatest successes.